Jason, let's start with you. Last night, election night in North Carolina, President Trump seemed to have the slight margin going into Wednesday morning.
Yeah, he does. It is a slight margin. He doesn't even have quite 50% of the vote. One interesting thing we were tracking, obviously, sort of throughout the entire evening, of the votes that came in a very first dump, Joe Biden actually had quite a large lead. And so we were sort of setting the table thinking, maybe Biden will have a bit of a landslide, and what could that mean for down ballot races? But at that time, there were only maybe 2 million votes that were in, and it just so happened to be that, I guess, that tranche of votes favored Biden far more than the overall results did. And so as more votes started to come in, it obviously became much clearer that the race was going to be closer, or even as it ultimately now looks like it probably will be, that North Carolina is going for President Trump. Again, these are unofficial results, but it at this point, it looks like North Carolina likely will go for Trump.
Well, that trend that we saw throughout the night in the presidential race held true in the U.S. Senate race, with Cal Cunningham starting off with a pretty hefty lead and starting to lose it throughout the night.
Yeah, very similar. His lead wasn't quite as big as Biden's was early on, but absolutely we saw the exact same trend. And there again, Tom Tillis looks like he will likely win re-election in that seat. He actually also has less than 50% of the vote. He actually has less than 49%. So he's got fewer votes than President Trump does. But Cunningham has even fewer votes than Vice President Biden does or did. And so that race looks to be a little bit more in the bag. Again, these are unofficial, but the way things look right now, it looks a little bit more solid for Senator Tillis to win re-election.
And I guess it's just worth mentioning, based on what the State Board of Elections said in the last few days, that they expected to count about 97% of all votes by this morning. But there were still some mail-in ballots that are likely to come in after Election Day. They're probably, I ask you, Jason, because you're our data reporter, probably aren't enough there to swing those races.
Unlikely, right? Unlikely. I mean, you don't want to say never. It's possible that as votes continue to come in, and perhaps some weren't counted, or strange things happen. But it is at this point very unlikely that these results, these unofficial results, will change.
Though still unofficial. Cole Del Charco, let's talk a little bit about races a little bit further down the ballot. Governor Roy Cooper won a second term.
Yeah, that's right, Will. We actually know that for sure. We have the call from the Associated Press. We have the concession from, Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest. And it looks at this point like Roy Cooper is the person who got the most votes in North Carolina tonight. And, you know, he has made this campaign really in this year, 2020, all about the pandemic all the time. Republican Dan Forrest had been coming after Cooper for pretty much every decision that he made about the coronavirus, his decision to shut down businesses, his decision to close schools in person. And that was something that this campaign really, that's all this campaign really had been about for this year, for at least all of my recent memory. And, this vote just shows that North Carolinians have been confident in Cooper's approach to that, and they want another 4 years of him. But for a lot of the other seats on the North Carolina Council, that wasn't the case. Some of those seats, especially the open ones, look like they're going the other way. It appears that the Republican candidate for Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, has won. I believe there has been a concession in that race, and that's an interesting dynamic. That's what we've had currently with Democratic governor, a Republican lieutenant governor. That's what we're going to have again, it looks like, going into 2021. For Attorney General, the Democratic incumbent, Josh Stein, gave a sort of a victory speech last night, and that was interesting. Obviously, it's still a tight race, and we have unofficial results so far. The race for superintendent of public instruction, which I've been following, also appears to be pretty close. I've reached out to both of the campaigns, haven't heard about an official concession at this point. You know, as Jason was talking about, there are still mail ballots that might be coming in. But it looks right now that that's going to go to Republican Catherine Truitt as well.
Right. And as we've been saying, these are unofficial results. In fact, the State Board of Elections doesn't canvass these results until actually November 24th. It's not unusual for the elections not to be over on election night or even the day after. We should say that as many times as we possibly can. There are a lot of really tight races in the Council of State, some that we just probably won't know for sure for a little while. You, as our, in the few seconds that we have left as our education policy reporter, what were some of the big policy points that stood out to you in that superintendent public instruction race? I mean, part of it had to be the pandemic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Catherine Truitt, the Republican, who again looks like she's going to win, has said she wants the districts to be able to make that decision on school reopening. We know, obviously, that is one of the biggest issues affecting North Carolina households.
Coldell Charco and Jason DeBruin, thank you both.
You're welcome.
Thank you.